Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Shine Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Starr. Today, I have Allie Cudby with me. She is the CEO of Alignment Growth Strategies, and she is the top in customer retention, number one best-selling author of Keep Your Customers, making her the go-to expert for businesses aiming to forge enduring profitable customer relationships. And that is actually what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about creating customer relationships and doing profitable ones at that. So let's get right to the conversation. I can't wait to share it with you. Well, I've been looking forward to our conversation today with Allie. So welcome to the Shine Podcast, Allie.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here.
I am too. We already had a good conversation about some things that happened behind the scenes. So I want to jump right in into creating customer relationships and profitable ones at that, since that's what keeps us going in business. It keeps us encouraged in business and can be a path to other offers and repeat business. So let's get right to it. First, will you fill us in about your story about building customer loyalty, your business, and your book too?
Sure. So I've been doing this work for a long time. I graduated from business school and ended up going to the New York Times company and worked in their sort of corporate strategic planning group. And it was like a little mini consulting group. And one day I got put on a project for the call center, and that was considered to be the biggest bummer project anywhere. Like, people were coming up to me and saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And part of the reason why is because the call center was more or less in a windowless warehouse in the depths of New Jersey. And to make a long story short, I got on this project. I thought it was fascinating. And one of the things that I learned was that our customers were incredibly loyal, but when they called the call center, they didn't have good experiences, and that would oftentimes lead them to feel more frustrated with the company. And part of the reason that that was happening was because we weren't investing appropriately in our team in the call center. We weren't making them feel valued. And in fact, we were actually paying less. I still find this to be shocking, that we were paying less for the New York Times company, the global brand, than the Burger King up the street. And so I know, right? So as soon as people could get a job at Burger King, they were ditching the Times and going there. So because we weren't taking care of our people, they weren't in a good position to take care of the customers. And that was such a huge aha for me that it transformed my career path. This is what I've been doing ever since. And I have been dedicated to the art of customer retention and growth by focusing on how you create better customer experiences ever since. And so I've had a lot of different jobs. I've worked in a lot of different industries and with a lot of different clients in different industries. And along the way, I also wrote my book, Keep Your Customers, which is also kind of an interesting and funny story because the book came out in April of 2020, which
I saw that. Yep.
Was a little funky. Yeah. And I was able to use a lot of the strategies from my book to actually engage with my audience and propel the book to a number one bestseller spot, even though I had to completely scrap my entire plan for launching the book with, 3 weeks before it launched. So that's a little bit of my story of how I got to where I am today.
That's incredible. I did read that it came out in 2020 and I was like, I wonder when. I was excited to hear you talk about that a little bit. So I know that this is a very broad question, but what creates more profitable customers? What do you say when someone asks you that question?
So the essence of what creates a more profitable customer boils down to what I call heart and smart. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we talk about in the book. And really, what you need to do is find ways to make your customers feel seen, heard, and valued. We want to quantify everything in business these days. We think that data is the be-all, end-all god of, business. And I think that the pendulum has swung way too far in that direction. At the end of the day, we are people and we care about how we are treated. And so when you create clear and consistent processes inside your company so that you can make your customers feel seen, heard, and valued, it generates a more positive response to what it is that you do. It changes the dynamic of your customer relationships, and it becomes much more profitable. So that's the heart side of it. Now, the smart side of it is, yes, you need to have process, you need to have data, you need to have tracking and metrics in order to know what you're doing is working, in order to know that you're being consistent, especially when you're dealing with teams that when you're a single shingle, it's easier to know that you're being consistent or that you're not being consistent.
Right.
When you have a team, you need to give them a little bit more guidance. You need to give them a path to success. So that balance of heart and smart is really what drives profitability in the long term.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. And actually, I want to talk a little bit about like ideal clients, because I know a lot of people are thinking, especially when they first start businesses, I hear a lot on my end where they go, yes, I am for everyone. That's my ideal client. And in that, of course, we want to be to the masses when we first start until we can kind of niche down and figure out who our ideal client is. So can we first kind of maybe define what an ideal client even is so we can serve them better?
Sure. And I really resonate with this question because I went through the same challenges when I started my business. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. So your ideal client is the customer that has the problem that you serve most effectively. And so you're the best possible solution for their problem. And sometimes the customer can have a problem and you might be able to help them, but they're not in a good place to be helped by you. Mm-hmm. And I'll share a little bit about my own journey identifying my ideal customer and how that sort of played in. So for a while on my life's path, I took an amazing but unpredicted turn. And I ended up starting a business that was dedicated to the art and science of how a bra fits a woman's body.
Interesting.
And I know you didn't think that was coming.
No, I didn't know that.
And I started a bra fit training and certification program that ended up becoming the global leader in its niche. And it was all online, and it was a really great business, and I loved doing it. And so over time, what ended up happening was my customers would come to me and they would say, Allie, my clients are crying tears of joy in the fitting room. This is so great. And because I had that corporate background in customer loyalty, I would say to them, you know, that's awesome. Now, what are you doing to make sure that your customers come back when they need to buy again? They're buying from you, that they're coming back sooner, that they're telling their friends, all of those things. And they really never had an answer. So when I started this company, I started by serving those lingerie retailers and manufacturers, because those were the people that I was already working with. Mm-hmm. And what I found over time was that they needed what I provided, but they really weren't in a place to be able to take advantage of it. They were oftentimes, you know, the owners of independent retail locations, and they were so busy putting out fire drills all the time. They didn't have the ability or the bandwidth to think strategically. And because they were churning through employees pretty quickly because of the nature of retail, they really didn't have the ability or the time to train their team effectively. And so they needed what I had. They needed customer retention strategies and processes, but their businesses really weren't set up for it. And so I shifted and identified that working with somewhat larger companies, generally business to business, but not exclusively, that those were people and that they were a little bit more established in what they were doing. And those companies were a better fit for me. Mm-hmm. And I love my retail customers. I love the relationships that I have with them. I care about them, but I wasn't able, even though they needed customer retention, what I deliver wasn't a great fit for how they needed to grow. And so we grew apart. So sometimes you think that your ideal customer is the person. You're like, you look at a business, you're like, oh, I can help them. Yes. But they have to be in the right place as well.
Oh, that's absolutely right. So then into that, how do you suggest kind of figuring out your ideal customers and then attracting those as well? I know there's so many ways to do this, and it's, again, a broad question for so many businesses, but how do you suggest kind of figuring that out?
So first of all, you're 100% right what you said before. The notion that, you know, I can help everybody means I can't help anybody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can look at it from an industry perspective, and you know that you serve, you know, a certain industry really well. And sometimes that's not as easy to identify. And you have to think about, like, well, what are the psychographic definers of what it is that you're doing? So not so much the demographics of, you know, industry or age or gender or whatever it is that serves, but really, like, what are the factors that somebody's going through? Or what are they, you know, what are they experiencing that might trigger them to need your products and services? And then you also need to think about, how do you find them? So for me, I oftentimes, you know, people come to me because they are saying, like, I have a problem retaining my customers. I have a churn problem. And, you know, I want you to fix the leaky bucket. Or they'll come to me and they'll say, all right, I have customers and I really like them, but I need to scale up. I need to grow, you know, with these customers. And what do I do to grow my existing revenue, or grow my revenue from my existing customer base? You know, so, you know, so what are the things that are going on in their business that are making them say, okay, I need your products and services. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what you can do is find a smaller niche of businesses, really get established in what it is that you do and grow from there. So it may be true that your products and services can serve everybody. The problem isn't what you do. The problem is how you message it. Mm-hmm. So being really, really clear about how you message your value will help attract the right people into your business. And it may mean that your messaging makes some people who might get value from you say, oh, this person isn't for me. But the reality is, the marketplace is so crowded with messages right now. We all get hit with marketing messages and advertising and all of those things, like, all the time. And so you have to be able to cut through the clutter. And the more clearly you can speak to the people that you serve, the better you'll be able to do that.
Absolutely. For my example, I was thinking about, so I'm a full-time photographer, and I used to shoot everything, weddings, things, anything I could get my hands on. And I really found my passion was more with women and boudoir and bachelorettes and all of just spending time with women. And what that helped me do is actually, like you said, like, I might have niched down at first to figure out, this is what I love doing, this is what I'm really good at doing, this is how I can serve the best. But what it's helped is then attract other clients that become mine. Niching down has helped me expand my network in a different way. But that's usually from experience. We have no idea. We just think, oh, if we niche down, we are not getting the money we could get. We're not expanding. We're not growing. And so realizing it might actually expand us in a different way is huge and gets us a completely different results in a wonderful
way. Yeah. It's also a confidence thing. When you speak really clearly about what it is that you do, you are confident in how you say it. And that is really attractive. But I'll also say, it's sort of funny. So I need new headshots. And so I've been shopping and I've been and as I've looked at people's websites, I'm clear about what I need. I need headshots, but not too corporate, but not too, lifestyle-y, because, you know, I really do work with companies. And so it can't be, I'm not life coachy, right? So it's somewhere in the middle. But when I look at people's websites, if it is, oh, I do weddings and babies and families and also headshots and a little bit of this, then I just move along. Like, I want somebody who knows how to think on my behalf in ways that I don't necessarily understand, because I am not a photographer.
Of course.
That is not my sphere of expertise.
Of course.
And that's what I'm looking for, is someone, you know, I'm using this photography as a tool for my business. And so that's a perfect example of how niching can impact how a customer looks at you when they
Right.
come for your products and services.
Right, because they are looking for whatever specific thing they're looking for, and they want you to be great at it, not just an add-on that they also do this, and this. So
Exactly.
that's a wonderful way. And that's how I get my clients as well. If they're looking for family, they're going to skip past me because it's not what I show, and they're going to find me if I'm what they want. And so that's important to think too. And now, how can we kind of shifting into manage that customer experience, whether that's, I don't know if you like auto responses or delivering things after to help in PDF or feedback from them. What are some ways that you can manage that customer experience to then make it better in the future?
So there's no magic set of things, right? Oh, three emails and a free giveaway. You know, there's nothing like that. And if only there was.
Yes, shoot.
So I know, right? So it really comes down to knowing your customer. So this is yet again why being able to identify your ideal customer is so important. I was talking to somebody the other day and was talking about the fact that some things that some strategic things that I need to do in my business. And one of the things that I'm working on over the next month or so is, is providing a free thing, right? I come on podcasts and do I have a free thing that I can offer up? And the answer is, frankly, right now, not really. And so I was like, I really got to do that over the holidays. And the person's like, oh, you know what is really great? Is a quiz, and people love quizzes. And I was thinking to myself, that is not my customer. My customer does not love a quiz. My customer is the CEO of a company, and and not always, but tends to skew more male than female. And they are very busy, and they are not quiz people. And maybe they want a resource, maybe they want a checklist, maybe they want like a something that's going to be a quick hit, but they don't want something too long, but they do not want a quiz. And so knowing that means that I can be a lot more clear about what it is that I do deliver when I create this thing. All that is to say, knowing who you're serving helps you create the processes that you need to deliver and nurture them. And it's different. It's going to be completely different based on what you do as a business and who you're talking to. So for some people, email is sort of getting harder, or you've got to work harder to be able to cut through the clutter of email. Yet again, cutting through the clutter is such a key piece of what it is that you're doing. So, what is it that you can do in order to engage more effectively? Are your people, and by the way, this is just on the attraction side. So the retention side is, a different thing, and I'll talk about that in a second. So on the attraction side, it's more like how do you get their attention? On the retention side, which is really more my area of expertise, it is thinking through the beats of your business. When are the moments that your customer comes to a point where they're either gonna build loyalty with you or block loyalty with you? And based on what it is that you do when those moments come. So, like I said, I work mostly with business to business companies. And so for a lot of them, the first thing that happens after the sale, the first business moment is like a kickoff meeting, a kickoff call. And so how are you making sure that your team or you as the business leader know what does the customer need to have in order to get to that kickoff meeting and be effective? How do you run that meeting in order to make sure that they know how to engage with you? How do you manage expectations effectively from the beginning? How do you follow up so that they have the confidence that they have made a great decision in buying with you? So that's sort of one of the first touch points. Then how do you go through your customer's journey with you and say, okay, for every one of these key touch points, what are we doing here? What are the clear and consistent processes that we want to instill? And then also, what are we tracking? What are we measuring? And how do we know that we're being effective in what we're doing? And how do we get better? So it sounds like a lot of steps. And here's what I will say. It's not as hard as it sounds, for a couple of reasons. One is that it's really a lot of simple steps. Nothing that I talk about is complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple.
Yes.
And a lot of times what companies want to do is they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do best practices. And they try and create these overwrought, hard processes that just die under their own weight. The goal is not to create something complicated, is to create something that can be knit into the fabric of what you do. So one thing that, you know, some companies do, some of my clients do, is they send a gift at various points in time, right? And that's a sort of a strategic conversation. It's like, when is the best time to engage a customer with a gift? Well, that's great the first time that you send the gift, but that's not hard, right? You know, sending a gift once is pretty easy. It's how do you make sure that every time that customer hits that milestone, the right steps are in place to trigger, like, oh yeah, I'm going to send that gift. If you make a decision as a company, this is what we're going to do, how do you make sure that it actually gets done every time?
Yeah, that's so important. And I was writing some notes down and going back to knowing who you're serving and why that's important. And I'm really driving this home, I feel like, right now, but it's so important, like you said, because you exactly know like how to serve them. And you said, nope, they don't want a quiz, but they might want X, Y, and Z. And that it's so important to attract those because you know exactly how to speak to them, give them more wisdom, knowledge, and even an experience that's different and exactly for them because you know who you're speaking to. And a lot of the times it's even what I think, how can I serve them if it's just a conversation one-on-one? I'm not trying to serve masses. I'm serving that one client at a time. And it's answering the questions, for me anyway, that I get all the time. If I want to put something out there, I think if I was going to have a conversation, these are the questions I get almost every time along the way. And that's a way to give back and serve too, as you know. And so then that retention for me just becomes, how can I continue to serve? So I love that you kind of hit all of that and how to continually give back to them. But that's the simple part is, like you said, communication, but then it's figuring out how will those steps actually take place every time so you don't slip up, so that the experience is wonderful every time.
Right. It goes back to that thing that I was saying about how do you make people feel seen, heard, and valued? If you're having an intake conversation with somebody and you are truly expert in their specific area of need, then you can ask those really smart questions. And they're going to say like, oh, I really feel like she knows me. She understands me. She gets the challenges that I'm going through, because everybody's buying a product or service to solve a problem of some kind. And so if you are doing the 97 different kinds of photography, then you're not going to be necessarily able to ask those really smart questions that make that person say, oh, this is my person, because they really understand what I'm trying to achieve with this photo shoot.
Right. So then kind of into that, we already have the ideal client. We've had contact with them. Let's say they're buying or purchasing from us, whatever that looks like in our business. How can we turn those already ideal clients maybe into more profit? Is there a way that you like to communicate to upsell or offers or make sure that those are returning clients and keep having touch points with them?
It really does go back to that same principle. You know, if you put yourself, once you really know your client, if you put yourself in their shoes, how can you think about serving them at a higher level? You know, I truly believe in selling by serving. And when you know the challenges that your customers have, and you can say like, hey, here's something else that I can do to help. You know, is that something that you need? Well, you know what the answer is going to be because you understand their business so well, or you understand their life so well. And so you can make a really authentic offer and it doesn't feel salesy, right? It doesn't feel like used car salesman. Hey,
you're absolutely right.
It feels like And I don't, you know, you've probably experienced that at some point where somebody offered you something and you're like, oh my God, yes, can I please give you my money to deal with this for me? And you were happy to do it. And that's what you're going for. And so when, you know, you're the people that have already bought from you, especially when you nurture those relationships appropriately, they are your best source of future revenue. So then when you're, so it all kind of comes together, right? You know these ideal customers, you understand their problems, you're speaking to them in a voice that is really authentic for them. And then you're sort of thinking to yourself, well, what else could I offer them? What's the next challenge they're going to have? And then you create an offering that delivers to be able to solve for that next challenge. And your customers are like, oh my God, thank you. How did you know that this is the next thing I needed? And it becomes really easy. And then not only that, but you're getting more revenue from the people that have already bought from you. Those people are probably staying longer, which means that the next person that you bring into the business isn't filling the slot of somebody who just left. It's an additive new customer. And so that's raising your overall revenue. And then, you know, that first customer buys more, that's raising your overall revenue. And then because they're really happy and they probably talk to other people in your same niche, they're telling other people about what it is that you do. And you're getting those warm referrals that make it even easier to grow your business. And it becomes this flywheel of growth. What I find mind-boggling in business is how often business owners focus on front-end sales and really like that's all they think about, and they ignore this back end. If you are not paying attention to how you retain and grow your existing customers and make it really easy for them to continue buying from you, you are not just leaving money on the table. You are like flushing it down the toilet and spitting on top of it. It's, you know, people, when they entrust you with serving them, it's not just an opportunity, it is an obligation to do it well. And, you know, you're disrespecting really the customers that you've brought into your business by not serving them at that better level, at that higher level.
I am absolutely guilty of this too. It's always looking for the next sale rather than, and that costs more money and more time than getting that return client or customer you've already, if they've already been happy and loved your product or service. And like I said, I'm guilty of that too. It's always, okay, cool. I fulfilled that. Next, where's my next client coming from, rather than continuing to serve. So I think that's so important. And to go back, somebody told me something a few weeks ago. What she likes to do is every Friday, this just popped in my head, every Friday she actually goes back, and it's more of a then serving time, whether it's 10 minutes, it's sending those things off to an past client, or even if it's a friend, and just making sure to serve every single week and having intentional actions behind it. Because of course we all have the intention to serve and be great to those past clients, and sometimes it takes months and months before we do anything. So that's important to remember.
And again, I love the fact she's doing it every Friday because it's a perfect example of something being simple, but not necessarily easy. Like it takes the discipline to do something like that every Friday, just like it takes a discipline to go to the gym or whatever it is. You know, you have to make a consistent choice, and every instance of that choice isn't so hard. It's the consistency of the choice. And the things that you do, like you said, they're very simple. You know, it's sending an email, it's sending a text. It's I mean, I just recently, and this isn't even a business thing, this was a personal thing, I wrote a bunch of handwritten thank you notes to some people who showed up for me. And every single one of those people actually reached back out to me to say, thank you so much for sending a handwritten note. I almost never get those.
Oh,
And so they were thanking me for my thank you.
yes. I love that. Oh, all those are so important. It just fills us too and makes us want to serve more. So I love that you did that. That's incredible. I actually want to talk about your book for one more second here. And that is, I know that it's about, and it's called Keeping Your Customers, Right. So, will you kind of talk maybe something about that we haven't touched on that you love, a little nugget of goodness? I know the whole thing is goodness, but something that you love to share that's just a little bit of an intro for it so that we all want to go buy it.
So one of the things that I share in the book, and I in the book I share case studies and different stories of companies that have put some of these theories and processes and strategic and tactics to use. I talk about this thing that I call the bullseye. And when people start companies, they oftentimes begin by thinking about their mission and their vision and their values, and that's incredibly important. They think about it from the standpoint of their company's mission and vision and values. What they don't do is think about who do they want to be for their customer? What is their customer vision? And the bullseye is an exercise in which people articulate what that vision looks like in a way that is helpful, not just as a thing that you put on the wall and look at sometimes, but as an actionable construct that every person on your team can use in any given customer interaction. And so, it actually boils down when you follow the process that I lay out in the book, and I have sort of step by step, it actually gives you a mantra that you can share with everybody so that they know at the end of the day, if I'm dealing with a customer and if I'm in a challenging situation, this is my North Star. This is the thing that can guide my action. And I share a story about a company called Cluster Truck. I always have to be very careful about how I enunciate
I love that.
that
I wish you all could see her face when she said it was very careful. It's good.
name. Cluster Truck. And it's a ghost kitchen restaurant. So you can't eat at the restaurant. It's only delivery. And when they started the company, the CEO created the mantra, don't ship maybes. And so it started in the kitchen. And so if you create a meal and it's getting ready to go out, and for whatever reason, it's not awesome. Maybe it had to sit too long and wait for the rest of the order to come up, or maybe for whatever reason, it just didn't come together the way they hoped. Trash it, remake it, don't ship maybes. And over time, don't ship maybes became this touchstone for the whole company. So if you really needed to hire somebody and you had a candidate sitting across the desk from you and you really needed to put a butt in a seat, is that candidate a maybe? And what happened was it gave everybody something to think about when they were engaging. And so it really ended up going beyond just customers and became this touchstone across the entire company. So is this person a maybe? Is this situation a maybe? But it also gave everybody in the company a way to talk about challenges that came up. Yeah, I really need to hire somebody, but that person was a maybe. And then so it becomes like a opportunity for conversation about sometimes the hard things, but it's a real point of clarity of how do we engage with our customers? Who are we on behalf of the people that we serve? So that is again something that we call the bullseye. And it's one of my favorite parts of the book, but also my favorite parts of working with clients to come up with something that is unique and specific and genuinely authentic to what this particular company does.
I guess I should have guessed that was one of the favorite parts because right now in the background of you, I see two bullseye. One is on the cover of your book, which I think is
Yes.
incredible. So thank you for sharing that. I have one more question that's actually the opposite. And this is, let's talk about the negative end. I know we want to be positive and encourage everyone that's listening here, but is there something maybe you see often in businesses that you suggest maybe not doing? And I know sometimes this works for some businesses and not for others, so there's not a blanket statement here, but something that maybe we should rethink about doing in business.
I love this question. You can see my face. I'm
Yeah,
like all
you are. Yeah.
lit
Most excited
up.
about this one.
And it is one that it applies to everybody. And the answer is that the phrase, the customer is always right, is wrong. It is one of the least helpful things that has entered the business lexicon, and I really wish it would go away. And here's why. As a company, you need to be able to set boundaries. You need to be able to give your employees a way to say no, or give yourself a way to say no, and hold to that. And in this world where the so-called customer is always so-called right, you don't have that luxury. It's you know, like the lunatics are running the asylum. And so I really believe that customers have become entitled by that phrase. Now, look, obviously, from everything else that I've said in this episode, you know that I don't think the opposite is true. It's not like, to heck with them, you know, like they do it your way or it's out. But how do you create clear boundaries? Mm-hmm. So when I was working with lingerie companies, one of the things that they were really afraid to do was hold to their return policy. And lingerie companies in particular have to be really careful about their return policy because there's a real health and ick factor, right?
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes driven by law as well, right? So there's a reason why they have these return policies in place, but they were so afraid of angry customers. They were oftentimes afraid to say, no, you can't return that. Mm-hmm. Or the individual retail worker would say, no, I'm sorry, you can't return that. And the customer would get angry and complain to the manager, and the manager would immediately override the person on the floor.
Right.
That is a recipe for disaster. So you can choose to override your return policy. You know, you can choose to say, hey, there's a list of customers that we really value. And when those customers come in, if, you know, they are our special customers, whatever you want to call them, we have a different set of rules for them, but our published policy stands. So just because you have a rule doesn't mean you can't break it.
Right.
But you need to set your employees up for success. You need to support them, and you need to be able to hold to a series of rules that exist for your business, because otherwise you're nowhere.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you started talking, I wrote down the word boundary, and then you hit the nail on the head and said that as well. And yes, we need to, like you said, serve our clients well and listen to their needs or their complaints or criticism, whatever that looks like, and be humble in that, of course. But I think you're absolutely right. We still need to have boundaries and say, like, if we're saying yes to everything, we're not serving our ideal clients the best that we can, because we're not even serving them. We're serving everyone or trying to give and not have those boundaries. And that's going to, like you said, create a disaster. So I'm so glad that you touched on that. What I was expecting, and I loved it.
Well, and sometimes what that means is that you have a bad customer and you don't want to serve them anymore. And that is also okay. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely such a thing as bad revenue. And, you know, it can be hard when your business is growing and you kind of are scrapping for every dollar, mm-hmm. but what you can lose in trying so hard to serve a customer that isn't right can actually undermine your ability to grow in the direction that is right.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I know that I asked at the beginning if there's anything on your heart, and you've already shared so many wonderful things that seem to be on your heart, but is there anything else that maybe keeps on popping up for you this time of year, or anything you'd like to share either personally or in business?
You know, this time of year, and we're talking during, as we're sort of heading into the holidays, I always think about my mom. My mom is not well, and so we're now going into a series of holidays where, you know, she can't be emotionally or really present in any way. And so that's always hard. But rather than, you know, leave it on sort of a bummer moment, I'll also say that what's always on my heart is that, you know, in my business, I really get to think about how to make people feel better. And, you know, ultimately what we're talking about, you know, in everything that we've talked about here, you know, selling by serving and understanding your customers and building long-term relationships, you know, we live in this world that sometimes can be so negative. And and interpersonal relationships are tough. And what we get to think about when we think about customer retention and we think about how to grow our business by serving at this deeper level is really positive. And it is, and that is something that's always inspired me. I mean, even when I was doing my bra fitting courses, you know, just knowing that, okay, I'm going to train this person and they're going to go out and they're going to be in the world serving all of these people and helping them have this better fit and all the good things that happen when you love your bra instead of hating your bra, which is a whole nother story. I still do that same kind of work, right? Like how do every company that I work with, it's like, oh, the customers that you serve are happier and they're engaging in a more positive way with your company. You're not in fire drill land anymore. You're in thinking bigger land. Mm-hmm. And I do love that. I do love that about what I do.
Yes. I even think about that as I record podcasts with people, because I almost feel so selfish because I feel like I feel so enlightened and encouraged and ready to take on the day. And I very often hope that if nothing else, if they don't get anything from what we're saying, that they know how important it is to have conversations that are uplifting and to surround themselves with people who are uplifting and what a difference that makes. And so you're absolutely right, but just serving people. And I love that. And I'm so sorry to hear about your mom too. So we can talk about both. They both exist. So
they both exist. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And before I let you go, I want to know how everyone else can find you, how they can follow you and go get their hands on your book too, which I already know because I've been stalking you, but yes, tell us all the things.
Thanks, Shauna. So the company is called Alignment Growth Strategies, and it's Align and then Mint, MINT, because first of all, everything that we do is about alignment, but also when you plant mint, it grows like crazy. And when something's awesome, it's in mint condition. And so that's my mint. And so alignmentforgrowth.com is the website. Come find me on LinkedIn especially. And I would just ask that when you come and find me on LinkedIn, and I hope that you do, please tell me where you came from. I get a lot of solicitations and I don't accept them, but I always want to hear from people that have come to me by hearing about me on a podcast. So please just let me know that, you know, Shauna sent me. And then the book you can find anywhere books are sold, but the website for the book is keepyourcustomersbook.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. You are absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad that we got to speak today and have a great conversation and something that I got out of it too. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. I really love being here. I love the conversation.
Before you go, I want to share a software that I've been using for a couple of years now and absolutely love. And I have a 50% off your first year referral link. I use honeybook.com for my proposals, contracts, payments, and so much more. It's a great way to keep all of your clients in one place. And I also use it for this podcast because you can have multiple businesses on each platform. And that means I can send out a scheduler so they can go on my calendar with only the things I want them to see, and they can choose it right then and there, and I have a professional way to keep in contact with them. It is the best tool that I have purchased in years, and now I want you to get that 50% off too. I will put it in the show notes for you, but just in case you want to hear it here, it is share.honeybook.com/Shauna Starr. That's SHANNASTAR for 50% off your first year with that referral link. Again, that's share.honeybook.com/Shauna Starr. I hope you love it as much as I do and find it a professional way to keep in contact, keep connected, get paid faster, and look professional along the way.